Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, South Kakalaka! Don't you dare be sour! Clap for your world famous two-time champs and feel the power!
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
For 12-Pack Radio, get excited, y'all.
Welcome back, everyone, to 12-Pack Radio, your podcast source for Pac-12 football news in the home of the Beta Rank College Football Statistical Model. This is Brian Conger. Thank you for joining us. Week 9 of Pac-12 football is upon us. Our apologies for last week. I got COVID. It was wasn't fun, not going to lie. It wasn't a jolly time. But I'm back and joined, as always, by Rob Bowron as we go through not quite the home stretch, but the beginning of the end of the middle stretch of Pac-12 football, and I'm excited to talk about these games. We got a lot of good ones on the slate, which was not the case. I guess if there was one week, Rob, for us not to record, it was last week. Woof, that schedule was terrible. Yeah. How are you?
Well, I mean, outside of the UCLA Oregon game, right, which looked beautiful on paper, and then was not close in the end.
I still liked it. I thought there was a lot of energy in that game. You had everybody's singing Shout on College Game Day. They had the live duck. Yeah, the two duck. It was the two duck heads with the live duck. That was great. I thought Eugene showed out. It was by far one of the more fun games that I've seen. It just in terms of atmosphere and the quality of the camera work and all that stuff. And I'm kind of glad we didn't record last week, because I was probably going to go into a bit about Oregon fans really feeling themselves about Bo Nix playing against Arizona and Stanford and like the Southern Utah accounting department. But I just this was a resounding victory. It's great for Oregon. I really liked the way that they were able to move the ball, and a big win for the conference too. I was so glad to see this as one of the featured games.
Yeah, we talked about a little bit, right? Like, UCLA's defense up until had looked a little bit improved. They don't look improved right now. They sit at 72 overall, but they were great against the pass, right? Like, there were some folks that were really excited about Azizi Hearn coming in. We tried to warn them. But they sit at 87 against the pass. Like, I would still have some caution. It's like people are going for and saying oh my gosh, have you seen Jaden Daniels' numbers for LSU? I'm like, man, he played Florida and Ole Miss. Like, let's not get that excited, you know? But I do think Bo Nix has done everything you could ask against some very bad pass defenses.
That's true. And he's been able to get it done on the ground too. I'm with you. I'm not a huge fan of UCLA's defense. I liked how up front they were pretty strong, in terms of being able to stop Utah. But Oregon did whatever it wanted all the time, every time. So did UCLA for parts of the game. But they weren't able to finish drives, and Oregon was. And this was a big game with a big-time environment. And, the difference between what Oregon's able to do, and I think some programs that haven't made that leap in the conference, is you get College Game Day at your campus in a big-time game, and they're oftentimes those are sometimes the games that I want to bet against if the team hasn't been there before. Oregon's been there before, and they were just able to take care of business in a top 10 matchup. And now they have a very, very outside chance of getting the college football playoff. And that's good for the conference.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I mean, I don't think people are going to hold that loss that they had in particular against Georgia again, that much against them. It was early, it was very early in the season. They've been rolling since, of course. Lots of teams are going to get smacked around by Georgia.
I'll hold it against them. That game was some bullshit. Like
it was bad. I mean, it was a really bad. It was a really, really bad looking loss. But it's, what's also going to matter for Oregon too, though, is like, and this is true because people, this is sort of like politics, right? Like the incumbent looks really bad against an unnamed challenger. And then all of a sudden, like the person, you know, the challenger gets named and people actually look at their warts and they're like, you know, like everybody is going to have some warts, right?
Yeah.
We should not, you know, just as we talk about, like, we should absolutely not write off USC as well. USC has a remarkably easy schedule coming up until they get to UCLA. Oregon is one loss ahead. I mean, and they're definitely, you know, going to book themselves, you know, likely going to book themselves into the Pac-12 championship game pretty, you know, maybe sooner than anyone else. Of the remaining contenders, like USC, even though there are going to be some teams and Utah has the tiebreaker on them, USC's schedule is really favorable. They only have four because they've already played Stanford. They have the fewest Pac-12 games remaining of any of the contenders. And their only real, you know, opponent that they have left that has a real pulse is UCLA.
Mm. I'm excited to see that train get real hot real fast. Right, because you can score against Oregon too. That's the thing. I think, you know, like
Oregon's defense sucks. Oregon's defense, like, let's not kid her. Like, so this is not the year for Pac-12 defense.
No,
like,
no.
Pac-12, the best defense in the conference is Washington State at 27.
Oh my gosh, it's just awful. It's so bad too, because you take a look at the talent that some of the teams have. And you just go home. Like, look, I know Washington is kind of a paper. Well, it is a paper tiger on defense. I don't want to mince words there, but you take a look at some of the defensive line recruits that they brought in. You take a look at, you know, the remnants of the secondary that they had, and it's just a mess. And you kind of look like, I'm trying to squint and think, like, is Utah number two? And they got to be in the 30s, I would assume, right?
No, Utah's not. And Utah's defense has been pretty bad. Number two is Oregon State.
Oh my god.
They sit at 32. And honestly, like mea culpa, I was wrong.
Yeah.
Like, turned out they had the right guy on staff. I thought Oregon State, given what they have with Smith on offense, should go out and get somebody and maybe spend the money. It turns out that Smith knew what he had, and he had somebody on staff that could, you know, largely turn the defense around. And they've done a really good job. Utah's at 45. And Utah really struggles with big plays. They're at 56 in explosive plays, and they're not forcing a lot of three and outs and turnovers. They're at 53 in negative drives.
That's great.
Especially against the pass. Like, to talk about, like, I mean, Clark Phillips is fantastic, but everyone else out there is not great. and they're not getting much pass rush, right? Like, I mean, they're only at 27 against the run. So if you have a good running attack, as we saw with, say, Florida, you know, like, you can absolutely lock up. Or, I mean, and to an extent too, like UCLA, you know, definitely was able to run the ball on them. You can run the ball against the Utes. But even more so, like, Dorian Thompson-Robinson absolutely torched him in the air. And it's not like USC didn't too, right? So
Yeah. One last thing for me until we go into our previews and going back in to look at what happened this past week was just fire David Shaw. I'm done with this. Like,
it's reached that point.
It has reached that point. He has not made the change. It's too late to make the change. You should have made the change 2 years ago. You score freaking now, if you can't tell, I had money on this game, so I always take these games more personally, but the point sticks. You score five field goals against ASU and win the game. Like, get out of my face. Like, it's just with the talent they have at wide receiver, with the quarterback that they have, I understand the offensive line isn't good, I understand that they can't run the ball, but you right. can't score a touchdown against a coachless ASU with Emory Jones as the quarterback. Like, I was so mad that they won this game. I at the very end of that game, Emory Jones has the team going down, and there was that catch where the guy's foot was clearly out of bounds, which was a bummer. But I looked at that. I'm like, for the love of God, please be in bounds and just fire this man and get it over with, because you lose to ASU. I think that that's another nail in the coffin. But like, he's not going to change. Like, there's no, I'm done. Like, I just bring somebody else in, get some new blood. I think Shaw, give him a couple years, let him, I think he'll be great on a broadcast, and then bring him back into coaching, but not at Stanford, not the Pac-12. This program is stupid. And I'm just furious that they won this game.
Yeah. I mean, we've both been pretty clear that like there have to be significant staff changes if you're going to retain Shaw. But I feel like that's been fairly clear for years.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's not, and he has not made any of those changes. So I don't know what to, I mean, short of firing Shaw, which seems unlikely, you know, still like, that's what's sort of crazy is like, it's going to happen at some point, but like it should have probably happened a while ago. And offensively, they're a disaster this season. You know, like the defense has improved a little bit. Their pass defense is actually really good this year. But they're struggling to defend the run, and their offense is terrible. So yeah, it's definitely time. Like, I don't know who Stanford's necessarily going to get. It feels like Stanford is probably going back to like where they normally are, you know, like prior to the Harbaugh hire and like the early part of Shaw, which is like, they were not good for an extended period of time.
Bring back Ty Whittingham, man. Let's go. That was like a fun couple of years. No, he was a disaster, obviously, at Washington. And then, of course, at Notre Dame. But yeah, I think it's time for a change. Looking at anything else. Anything else to mention before we break down these games here?
No. I mean, I'm excited to get back and get it. So, like, there's not a ton of good games this week because there's some real inconsistent matchups, you know. Like, but there is one really good game this week.
Yeah. I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh, gross. Because I thought there'd be some hipster games. There's only one really, and it's on Thursday. All right, we'll get to that. And we're going to break down every game coming up. We're going to review every game that we just saw, and we're going to do it right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
All right, we're back. We're talking Pac-12 football. We're looking at week nine, and looking back at week eight. And Rob, where do you want to start here?
Oh, let's do... Should we do Oregon-Cal? Let's do Oregon-Cal.
Yeah.
We can talk... I mean, they're like... Because like, we do have some games like USC-Arizona where they both had byes, and we get to talk about like their last games, which were a while ago.
No, good call. And it allows us to get to dive deeper into this UCLA Oregon game. Of course, Oregon 45, UCLA 30. A lot of offense in this game, not a lot of defense.
Yep.
First of all, just big balls, Dan. Just going for that onside. Steal that possession before it starts raining, baby. I love it. That took some guts. But at the end of the day, even without that, I mean, I think Oregon wins this game. Bo Nix, 22 of 28, 5 touchdowns, no picks, plus 50 yards on the ground as well. Oregon got what it wanted in the air, on the ground, and so did UCLA. Although I liked the first three the first opening of this game is awesome. The first three possessions, right? Because the teams are going back and forth. But holy Moses, DTR threw like three interceptions in the end zone or close to the end zone in the course of about 10 minutes. And he was lucky they weren't picked off. He did get one interception in the game. But for him, 27 to 39, 262, two touchdowns, about 40 on the ground. I thought this game was fun, but you're right. I think it was kind of over by once that onside kick happened and Oregon went up again. I think that was kind of the beginning of the end. And it was just clear UCLA wasn't going to stop them.
Yeah, I mean, the difference in this game is that Oregon was able to hit a lot of explosives in the air. UCLA ran the ball really well in this game for the most part. Of course, like the turnovers hurt, the turnover and then the onside kick. Those hurt quite a bit in this game. I mean, in a game that you lost basically by two possessions, right?
Yeah.
But UCLA, I mean, like the main difference is, the 10.1 per pass for Oregon versus the 6.7 for UCLA. And UCLA has been able to hit. I mean, like they torched Utah on big pass plays. And they just weren't able to hit them. I mean, Oregon, Chip Kelly's passing offense is like not, it's the same. Like, I'm just like, how do you guys not see this coming? Right. Like, oh, it's gonna be somebody over the middle catching passes, right? Like his deep pass, his passes that they tend to hit are generally not outside, throws to the outside of the wide receivers that are, your X or your Y. And Oregon showed up and had a decent game plan to limit those yards and not give up big plays. And I thought that really worked in this game because UCLA had too many field goals, right, to be able to hang here. I mean, and really, too, I mean, like if you combine like kick and field goals, basically what amounts to two turnovers, like that's going to kill you.
Yeah. The other thing for me that stood out in this game was and we kind of knew it was the case, but, UCLA. I think that front seven is actually pretty good and they didn't look good against Oregon. And I think that's more of a testament to Oregon's offensive line and the ability to run the ball than it is UCLA. Although, I mean, it does speak a little bit to UCLA, but right. I appreciated the dominance up front and it was something that Cristobal talked about. And, sometimes we saw and sometimes I think we didn't see as well. There was times with that Cristobal offense where they just didn't really run the ball that well. And you're like, right. Why aren't you supposed to be doing this better? Not the case in this game and all year. And I think Bucky Irving's a part of it also, where they have a couple good backs back there. But really a big shout out to the offensive line and Knicks to be able to buy time or run. And I mean, this is going to be a tough offense to stop for the rest of the year.
Well, Oregon's offense grades out right now. It's number six in effective rush. And even if UCLA looks, looks comparatively better against the run, defensively, like they're at 56 in effective rush, like compared to 87, against the pass, like you're going to get worked by a rushing offense, that's in that range. Like UCLA's offense is still really good. I mean, they sit at number nine offensively and the revenge of the Pac-12 this season is on offense because there are five teams in the top 20 on offense nationally in the Pac-12 and beta rank. I think that is the good sign for the Pac-12 when you've got that really dialed in there. The trouble is UCLA's offense just couldn't quite keep up with what Oregon was able to do in this game. And that's like, this game was going to be a shootout. And it largely did end up being one.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing too, when talk about shootouts is, I mean, we've been waiting for an Oregon wide receiver to emerge. And I know that Troy Franklin has been emerging this whole year, but we just haven't really acknowledged it. And I should this time. Yeah. I mean, like he's the first true number one wide receiver that I've seen in Oregon in like 5 years, like at least. I have to go back and even think it might even be past that. But really somebody where you're just like, you just know he's going to get at least 80 yards in like four or five catches. And he exceeded that. He had eight for two touchdowns, 132 yards in this game, which is like not surprising because UCLA's secondary not great, but also because Franklin's good and Nick's, gosh darn, he just, I think it was Franklin where he just dropped it. I mean, like You know, sometimes it's a beautiful dime and the wide receiver's catching it on his forearms like it's a volleyball, or he just dropped it right in his hands. It was just a beautiful pass. I was pretty excited about that. Let's flip it over here to the other game. By the way, I went 2-2 on the week. I'm like two games over 500. I hate trading water. Really frustrating. But still in the positive territory. I had UCLA in this game, by the way. This one coming up. So Washington 28, Cal 21. I was on Cal in this game because, and we were talking about this a little bit before we started recording, like there wasn't really a numerical reason for it. This was just the stupid Cal game. And I assumed, because there's always one. But also it was like, it was at Cal.
Right.
Washington's defense is just hot garbage. I didn't expect Cal to score on Washington like they did against Arizona. I thought that was also a dumb Cal game. But I did anticipate them being able to score and doing just enough to halt Washington. And that's basically what they did. I mean, this game, I watched this game the whole time. It was dumb. You have beast mode, you know, talking about the upper room. Dropping F-bombs. My favorite part is he goes on and, like, you know, they're interviewing somebody and he and I forget who the other running back they had.
Forsett.
Who's also like a legend at Cal. And so they're like making these innuendos to the upper room. And he's like, if you know what that means, you know what that means. And then it cuts to Rob Gilmore and like his assistant, and his assistant's like, I don't know, Rob, this upper room sounds really cool. And Rod Gilmore's like, there are children present. That's the best part.
And I was like, Rod Gilmore knows what it is, right? Like,
oh, it's great.
He's cooler than I thought.
Yeah, right. Even the NFL, he knows what's up. Ultimately, you know, this game was dumb, but it was played. And like, look, I thought Jack Plummer did pretty well in this game. 3 touchdowns, 7.2, no interceptions. I think he's consistently been pretty good, and I think better than Garber's last year.
So let's be like, Cal's offense is god awful. They're at 107 overall, and this Cal team is really bad. But like, there's just a couple things that just sort of like Cal played into the strength, like the strengths and weaknesses in the game better than Washington did. So Washington's defense is god awful. They're at 99, but in particular, they're horrendous defending the pass. They're at 121 in effective pass. They have the worst pass defense in the Pac-12. So Cal figured out, like, oh, throw the football. You know, like Washington's defense is like 57 in effective rush. They have a little bit of a comparative advantage there. If you flip it around, like Cal's defense, which is like, for how bad the Pac-12 is like decent-ish. They're at 63 overall, but they're at 45 in effective pass. They're at 83 in effective rush, and Washington just could not stop themselves from throwing the football. Like, they just could not. Cal is less good against the run, and Washington just could not figure it out enough. And like, it bit him. I mean, there was like some, like, I don't know how many drops Washington had, but there were many.
And the thing too is, like, to be fair, Washington did run the ball 32 times, but like 32 different people got a rushing attempt. Like, it was just so weird to see how many people they were cycling in that game. I thought it was fascinating.
Well, no, I mean, it's fascinating too, because like how bad Washington is at running the football is to go up against this Cal offense Cal defense that doesn't stop the run terribly well. And certainly like in their game against like Arizona, you know, like gave up some, they gave up some passing yards to Arizona. You know, when they gave up 5.2 per attempt to Arizona in that game, you know, Arizona's playing from behind. And they, you know, like they certainly also let like Colorado run on them.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, like a crime a little bit. But like I take that back. I guess they didn't. Like, Colorado threw on them. Anyway, like Washington just couldn't quite figure it out enough though. And that was really, I think, the problem in this game. It was like they couldn't figure it out in throwing the football around, and Cal really just like took advantage of like how bad Washington secondary is. And that's what like I think makes this sort of like Pac-12 season sort of interesting, is like, and sort of unpredictable, is that so many of the contenders have, I mean, because their defenses are so bad, and they might have some like really glaring weakness defensively, you know, like it does leave, like Washington is vulnerable. If they have any fall off in offensive execution, they're probably not going to hit their number for the game, because the defense is not going to be there to pick them up.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know, looking forward here in the game that we have up, because Washington is on a bye. Oh, that's interesting. The game we wanted to match these up with was number 8 Oregon is playing Cal. It's at 12:30 p.m. on Fox Sports 1. And the line is 17. And my worry here, so like, if my initial knee-jerk reaction here was that that's too many points with Oregon's defense, but I just don't trust Cal's offense. And I was really struck by how much Plummer, Jack, by the way, shout out to our friend Ralph Ampson, who had one of his tweets, like, you know, posted on ESPN or whatever channel this was on, talking about how like Jack Plummer isn't the grandson of Jake Plummer or something. Like that was pretty funny. I was just shocked at how much he had to run around in this game. And that worries me when it comes to Oregon, because I do think Oregon's going to get to him. And I don't trust Cal's offense against like I'm not saying Oregon's defense is good, but I think it's better than Cal's. And I think Oregon's going to get what it wants, even in a hangover game, because they'll be able to run the football. And I just don't see Cal catching up. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, Bannerank has this at Oregon by 20. Oregon's defense is 100% bad enough to, you know, like make a game of this, right? But I think that, you know, I mean, I don't think Cal is going to be able to, like, even as bad as Oregon is against the pass, they're at 95 in effective pass. I don't think Cal's going to, like, they're not nearly in the range that Washington is. And I think they're going to be able to slow Cal down. I think Cal sort of comes back to earth a little bit. I really do like Oregon in this game in particular. I think they're going to be able to throw the ball and run the, like, I think they're going to be able to suck in Cal's secondary by running the football. And that's going to do what they've done up to this point, which is it's going to open up the passing game.
Yeah. I think the biggest question here is on the other side, you know, matching up Cal's offense against Oregon's defense to see if Cal can score. I mean, they're probably gonna have to score at least 30 in this game to win. I would say they'd have to score 35 to win. I don't think that's possible, but what do those matchups look like?
So Cal's offense is at 107 and Bannerank. I mean, Oregon's at 75. This isn't a good defense. But what they, like, they're better at, like, what they struggle with is getting off the field. Their drive efficiency number's not great, but they do a pretty good job limiting big plays. Comparatively, they're at 57 in explosive drives. They're decent at forcing three and outs and turnovers. They're at 36 in negative drives. And Cal is just bad across the board. They're at 101, 101, 98, 99, you know, for their core four Bannerank metrics. Like, there's nothing really good that stands out. They're at 90 in effective pass, but 105 in effective rush. I mean, this offense has just really, really struggled to put up. I mean, other than the bonkers game against Arizona, and Arizona has the worst defense in all of Power Five by a lot. Like, Cal's offense is like almost non-existent. Like, the fact that they were able to put up 21 against Washington, like, that's a massive indictment of Washington's defense.
Yeah. I hear you. I think like my one worry is that this is at Cal, and I do think those types of games, there is a hangover effect here, right? They just beat UCLA at Autzen. Now they got to go to Berkeley to play this dumb team. So there is a chance where this game is a little tighter than it should be. But I still think in most instances, Oregon ends up covering. I'll lay the 17. I'll take Oregon. It sounds like you're doing the same.
Yeah. I'll take the Ducks here. I'd be surprised if Cal can string it to, like, you know, hold it together with, like, scotch tape and baling wire for another week.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move over to the late game, the nightcap here. Stanford, the 3-4 Stanford plays number 12 UCLA. UCLA not dropping too far after losing to Oregon, which is nice. Nice to see them. I still think they're a really good team. Just it's nice to continue to be in that top 15. The line on this game is 16.5. So it's similar to the Cal and Oregon game. I guess let's start with UCLA. I mean, is there anything else that we want to say about their matchup against Oregon?
No, I mean, we covered it. I mean, they did a good job moving the football around. They couldn't keep up with Oregon.
Yeah. I mean, we know who they are, right? Like they're going to be able to move the ball. They're going to be able to run. If DTR is playing at like, I mean, here's the thing. When DTR was probably playing at like 65% capacity and still dropped like 30 on Oregon on the road, which I think is a testament to how much he's grown as a player over time, where like a 65%, I'm not saying health, but just like, 65% of how good he could have been. You know, he does that on the road 3 years ago and UCLA scores 14. So it's right. Nice to see him be able to move the ball. This Stanford game was so dumb. And it was really incredible. It was extremely frustrating to watch because it was really just bad football altogether. Stanford was able to.
There were like barely any possessions in this game too. Like both of these teams were practically killing clock.
It was just strange. Tanner McKee, 320 yards, no touchdowns, one pick. Emory Jones, for reasons unknown, is still the starting quarterback at ASU. And I think it's Burkett. I think I kept saying Bourquet. I was trying to make him fancy. I was surprised about that after what he was able to do. Now, granted, it was against Colorado or whatever. He was able to put up a bunch of points. But I did think, you got to pull the trigger. Like if Emory Jones is giving you 200, he's almost it's so weird to say this, but like he's kind of Jaden Daniels in terms of the stat sheet. You know, he's going to give you 225, right, a touchdown and a pick. And he's going to run for like 30 yards or 40 yards. And that's it. That's what he's going to do. I'm surprised they haven't pulled the trigger, especially with a new coach. I know. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, like the difference between him and Daniels is he's got his average per attempt is higher. Like he is getting the ball down the field a little bit more and that can be helpful. I think they like his athleticism. I mean, that's gotta be the only real reason.
But he doesn't run like that. That's the weird thing.
He doesn't run. He doesn't run enough. Like, yeah, he gets like they should feature him running more and the offense would work better.
Yeah, I buy that. Like on the other side, good for ASU for sticking in this game, the defense, at least just trying to. I mean, because like, look, McKee in that passing game is tough. But man, it just. And I knew what I was getting into with Stanford, but it is what it is. Like it hasn't changed. And when you're looking at this game, you're just going, oh my gosh, you can't finish a drive in your own 20 ever. Like this is stupid. I mean, it's bad play calling. It's bad rush, rush offense. It's bad offensive line. It's the same stuff. It's the same thing over and over again. I guess like the bigger story would be the ASU. Because if there was a win, this was it, right? I mean, like, sleepy farm, right. They're giving away tickets. You had Elijah Badger go over 118. He had a beautiful catch. But really, that's it. Like, there wasn't much to put together against the Stanford team. That really worries me about ASU in the future.
Yeah, I mean, ASU does not have, like, this does not bode well for them, in what they're going to have coming up, for sure. I think the defense hasn't quit, they're not, that's not to say that they're any good, but, they were definitely able, like in Stanford's offense is terrible. But they were able to slow them down and like, they held me, like, I mean, McKee threw the ball a ton, didn't complete very many and didn't get many yards when he did complete them, in this game. But this was a game that you kind of felt like ASU really needed to win, because after this, like they do get Colorado, so there's that. unless you're Cal, everybody's got a get right game against Colorado on the schedule. But after that, like, there's going to be three tough games in a row before, I mean, and they'll have a real shot to beat Arizona. But they'll have three tough games in a row, and two of which where they're going to get, you know, two of the decent defenses within the conference, right? Like, it can be really frustrating even after, you know, like the UCLA game, having to go against Washington State and Oregon State.
Yeah. This line, I'm a little worried about. I think UCLA is going to score. I mean, they'll probably score 45 on Stanford, but I don't know if I like that secondary after seeing what Bo Nix did to him. And like, we weren't confident in the secondary anyway. I'm worried that this is like a hangover. Stanford is able to put up just enough to be able to cover the spread, but that's about it. But I don't know, like my knee-jerk reaction right when I looked at this game was to take UCLA, because I just, like, they're going to do whatever they want on offense.
I mean, it definitely does feel like a game where you're like, all right, UCLA, you know, is going to bounce back. And I think they will. I just think 15 is too many. I think and it's been bet up. It opened at 15, and so people clearly don't agree with me. But like, BetaRank has this as 14 with UCLA at home. I mean, UCLA's defense is really bad, particularly against the pass. And Stanford's offense isn't anything great, but they're, you know, and like, and I guess the worry here is like, Stanford's defense, and Chip Kelly's smart, you know, like, the worry here where this game could get out of control is that Stanford's run defense is really bad, really bad. And UCLA could absolutely line up and just knock them off the ball, and have a game where they don't rely on DTR a lot and put up some really big plays. And I think that's the concern. Like, maybe I will take UCLA, because like, Kelly's gonna, like, he will lean more into the run game, I think, here instead of throwing it.
I totally agree. It's just, can, right? And like, to do the math here, if they do that, they will score 40, which means UCLA needs to get what, like 30, or Stanford needs to get like 34.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, like, I mean, Stanford, in order to, they would need to get, if UCLA scores 40, in order for Stanford to cover.
Oh, 24. I'm sorry. Yeah.
24. Yeah.
I mean, I guess they could do 24.
Well, I mean, but here's the thing is, like, Stanford always slows it down. There are always fewer possessions in their games.
I'm going to take them. I can't believe I'm doing it. I'm not going to bet this game, but I think this is the dumb game where they're airing it up. You know, you have whoever their wide receivers are coming up and catching dumb balls. And like, I don't think this game will ever be close, but I think 16.5 is a lot. So I'll take UCLA. I take Stanford. I don't like it, but,
if we're taking it again, 16.5, I'll take Stanford. Okay. It opened at 15, but 16.5 is too much.
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna change. I was gonna bet this up to 24. I'll take UCLA. I do think this could be the dumb Stanford game, though. You still want Stanford? Sorry, I didn't mean to pull the rug out from under you.
Yeah, I'm gonna take him. Okay. What the heck? I talked myself back into it.
God, large spreads. This is not good. This is not good.
It's the week. It's the week of, I mean, and there are some in here where I'm like, I can't, like,
yeah,
like USC Arizona, like, that didn't make any sense to me.
Well, it goes into our theory that we said at the beginning of the podcast, where the offenses are good and the defenses are awful. So I get why the spreads are so long. You know, I just be aware a little bit of that Stanford game. I wouldn't necessarily bet it. I think UCLA is going to score so many points, but I do think there's a world where Stanford just throwing the ball and able to keep up. So, okay. All right. Next game. Let's do it right after this.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 Whiskey declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Ah, I got you. I got you. You thought we were going to go into the third game, but now we will. We will. Let's do it. Thursday night. We're getting a Thursday night game, Rob. We haven't had one all week. Usually it's Utah versus, like, you know, Southern Utah College of Mines is usually like the opening Thursday every year. But they were in Florida this year. God bless them. Fox Sports 1, number 14, Utah, goes on the road to Washington State. The line here is 8. And I like that line, Rob. I thought it was a really smart line. I'm curious what you think.
I think that's too many points.
Ooh, okay. Do tell.
So, like, Betarank right now has this, like, it would have it close to that on a neutral field. But it's only got it at 4 1/3.
Oh, man.
On the road for Utah here. And, like, one of the main problems here is, like, again, we're talking about, like, a defense that's actually, by the standards of the Pac-12, actually good. You know?
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So, like, Washington's defense is both good against the run and the pass. They're decent at driving. Efficiency. They do a decent job containing big plays. Like Utah's offense, like they're at 17. Like they're gonna score points, but this, like, I expect this Washington State defense to get some stops. And like Washington State has sneaky good special teams. They sit at number 10 in special teams right now. But you flip it around, and like
that's the
listen.
Problem.
Like Washington State's offense is not great. But Utah's defense isn't either. Like, Washington State's offense is at 66 overall. They don't run the ball well, which is unsurprising. They're at 110 in effective rush, but they're at 32 in effective pass. But Utah can't stop the pass. You know, like, and look, Cam Ward, like...
He doesn't pass, like, the ball. Cam Ward, he throws tunnel screens. Right, that's not, like, passing.
I know. Like, look, if Cam Ward, like, does his thing where he, like, only throws outside and doesn't throw over the middle, like, that would be bad, right? Like, maybe you actually throw to Clark Phillips in that scenario. Let's not do that, you know? But honestly, like, I don't trust Utah's pass rush to get a ton of pressure on him. Do you? I mean, they've been bad. Their pass rush stinks.
I don't think Washington State's offensive line is great. You do see Ward running around a little bit.
Right. I mean, but this, like, just on a pure raw points per drive perspective, like, Utah's given up 2.1 points per drive. And they haven't faced, like, an absolute gauntlet of offenses yet or anything like that, right? I mean, they got worked over by UCLA. Now, Washington State's not UCLA, but, like, they also don't have UCLA's defense. You know, like, I expect Washington State's going to have some opportunities where they have some decent field position in this game. And I think they're going to put some, I mean, like, I like the Utes to win. But I don't like it by, I think it's by one possession.
I wish
eight points is like two possessions, right? Like, that's the bet right there. Like, it's more than a touchdown. I don't think they're going to win by two possessions here. And like, unless, of course, like, caveat this, of course, is like Ward doesn't throw a bunch of turnovers, that kind of thing. Right. But like, one of the things that we like about, like, and maybe here's your question. Do you think that Washington State is going to get real pressure on Utah, or that Rising is able to escape that and find open guys?
I think they'll put pressure on him for sure.
Yeah.
I trust the right side of that field when it comes to the secondary. I don't trust the left side.
I think Wazoo's defense is smart enough that, like, I mean, Utah doesn't run the ball very well. And they are still somewhat of a one trick pony offensively in throwing the ball. Like, I mean, it's amazing that USC just couldn't figure out what was coming every time. But I think Washington State will.
That was a great game, by the way. We weren't able to talk about it, but that game, because we were out last week, but that was a super fun game.
Right.
Going for two, like, hot damn, that was awesome.
Yeah.
So here's my hesitation. Because I saw that 8-2, and I said, oh, okay. On the road, Palouse is a bad place to play.
On a Thursday in the Palouse?
Yep. But here's the problem, is that I don't trust Cam Ward at all. And I think the defensive scheme for Utah, they're going to let him throw the ball deep. Fine. Beat us deep. Right. Like they're not stupid. They're, like, you want to throw,
he doesn't throw the ball deep though.
I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like they're going to, you want to throw another tunnel screen. Here you go. Like, we're just going to eat that up. Like, I think.
Go ahead.
I think they're going to snuff that crap out. I think they're going to expose that defense, that offense, as just being bad. And
oh yeah, like last year's Utah defense, I would say yes. This iteration, who on this defense other than Clark Phillips is that good?
Yeah.
Yeah. And in particular, like, they are really vulnerable against the pass outside of Phillips. Like, Oregon State, like, don't throw interceptions to Clark Phillips. Like, you can score points on this defense.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and yeah, all right. You talked me into it.
Utah on a neutral field would be 6, almost 7. But Washington State, I mean, they played in particular, like, if you go look at their games, you know, where they've had, you know, or they've played, you know, some decent passing, you know, defenses, like, they held, like, look, USC eventually really put them away, but they did a really good job against USC's offense for the absolute majority of that game, you know, like, and they traded shots with Oregon, you know, offensively. So, like, they've done, like, for the most part, done a pretty good job. I mean, like, look, Utah's got a good offense. Like, they're not great though. Like, this isn't like last year's Utah team. I don't know. Like, I think 8's too much. I think the Utes win by like 7. I think it's one possession. Cause I also think Washington State's going to hold them to some field goals.
Oh, I agree. They're going to shut down the run. Like, they won't shut it down, but they'll, I should take that back. They will make it hard to run. Washington State's defense will, like, but gosh, that offense is just so dumb. All right.
I agree. But, like, this could also be the game where, like, you know, Cam Ward has some time. Like, I mean, what scares me about this, like, I'll say this, like, what scares me about this game, in particular for, say, Ward, is, like, is not the games where he's, like, he did pretty well against a pretty bad Oregon defense, right? And then he did pretty well against a not great Cal defense, but a Cal defense that, like, you know, defends the pass a little better than the run. And then he, like, stunk. He stunk against USC, right? And USC's defense is bad. That's the one that worries me. It's not like, and it's not even like you, like, Oregon State has a decent defense. So, like, he's going to stink, right, in that game. But it's that, like, what worries me is, like, he kind of stunk against USC. That's what gives me a lot of pause coming into this one.
Yeah. I wonder if the book's out, right? The 14 points, 10 points. I think people kind of know. I just feel like you're going to get one of those seam. You're going to get two passes to Kincaid. And like one more, and that kind of puts them All right. I just don't trust this offense. I'm going to take Utah. I hear what you're saying on Washington State though. That makes sense. All right. Let's do the Dumb Bowl. There's so many bad games here. Arizona State on the road at Colorado. This game is not as one would have thought on ESPN Plus. It's on the U. We made it to the U. Arizona State is a 13-point favorite on the road. And
I
like,
feels crazy. Like, to, like, I mean, it does. It feels a little crazy, but.
But, like, yeah, it opened, by the way, at 15.5. So people, the money is coming in on Colorado, which is freaking, which is nuts. I don't know if ASU's given up. You think they go with Bourquet? Bourquet?
I don't know. Here's the, like, Colorado's defense is really awful. I mean, like, so Baderank has this game as ASU 16. And so, like, there, it definitely, like, you know, sees it as a game that, like, you know, ASU should be able to get to. It's just, it's, I mean, it's truly hard to put any faith in ASU. But I also, like, I also think that there's, like, a big difference. I mean, that, like, look, Colorado didn't quit against Oregon State. And ASU, I don't, like, I think you'd be hard pressed to say that they had quit. But I think offensively, like, ASU is going to be able to come in and run the ball against a really bad Colorado run defense. They're at 127 in effective rush. ASU's at 57 in effective rush. Like, I think they come in and they are able to run the football, and that's going to help. Look, in Colorado's offense is almost non-existent. They're at 122 offensively. They're the worst offense in the Pac-12. Now they have, like, against Oregon State, they threatened to backdoor the Beavers a couple times.
I wasn't scared. I was watching that game. Like, do it. Like, do it. Let me see you do it.
Yeah. So, like, they put up 200. I mean, but, like, a lot of these, like a lot of this was truly in, like, garbage time. But they threw the ball over four times against Oregon State. That, you know, like, underneath the hood, again, this game against Oregon State was still quite bad, but it was not as bad. I don't know. I think ASU, like, we've kind of figured out where they're about, and they're about in this range. And it's only if, like, Colorado were to able, like, really put it together for one game that I really would expect them to show up and handle it here.
Let me just break down that box score real fast. JT Schrout, it's the 50%. He's throwing picks. Like, they have nobody to throw the ball. I'm going to take ASU. You're going to give me less than two touchdowns? Who's scoring? Who's scoring on this team? I know they beat Cal. Yeah. I get it. But Cal's dumb.
Cal is bad. Like, I'm sorry. Like, outside of that game basically against Arizona, like, Cal, if you look into their game, like, I mean, maybe they take the Washington game, but, like, they have been really bad. UNLV 20-14, you know, like, Notre Dame is not good this season.
Here's the one worry, though, is ASU ran for, you know, we're depending on the run, and they did 34 for 128 against Stanford. That's awful.
And hold on, Stanford's run defense isn't good. That's sort of a concern, is that, like, Stanford's been lit up in other places against the run so far this season, and, like, ASU couldn't do it. I just think, I mean, Colorado, they have been, although really, like, Cal couldn't really run the ball against them. I mean, Cal ran it. I mean, they stuffed Cal running. So let's maybe take a look back here. Like, are they starting to put it together? Like, so they stuffed Cal running the football. They did not stuff Oregon State.
No, they did.
Absolutely stuffed it down their throats running the ball. I don't know. I mean, like, I just think, look, Colorado's offense is so bad. Like, ASU's probably going to have short field.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough. Like, I mean, like, look, Oregon State had a, like, what was the number? Like, 24 or something like that last week. They covered it. Like, I think ASU, like, barring some mistakes, like, can get to, you know, what did that open at? Oh, man, that opened at 11, and then it went up, and then it went back down. That's interesting. Like, if it's 11, I'm taking ASU all day. And then what is it sitting at now? It is at ASU by 13? I still like ASU at 13. ASU's going to win by 2 touchdowns.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. If it's Bourget, I'm taking ASU. And if it's Emory Jones, I'm going to take Colorado. Because if you take a look, like, and here's why. If you open the box score of some of these games, like Washington, right? ASU scored 45 against Washington. Get it? Understand. But Emory Jones was not great. He got knocked out. Bourget comes in, 3 touchdowns. But look at Holiday, right? 111 yards. Like, or Valaday. Valaday is fine, but he's not great. And unless they're going to throw the ball around, I don't want a part of ASU. So we'll make it. I'm going to make it a game time decision. But like basically, if it's Bourget, I'm on ASU, and if not, I'm going to take Colorado. Which sounds gross, but it is what it is. What about you? Are you gonna? Does it matter who the quarterback?
I'm taking ASU. Like, just give me the Sun Devils here. Fade Colorado.
Okay. All right. I feel a little better now. I know it doesn't
Colorado
matter.
Colorado had like their one like jump up and punch someone in the mouth, and it just happened to be a terrible Cal team.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Last game here. I apologize, Rob. Like, I have the numbers in here, and they're like, these were what I would have bet the games to. So Rob's looking at these numbers going like, what on earth? And I'll put that one in later. Okay. Last game. I already bet this one. USC at Arizona. USC is now a 15.5-point favorite over Arizona. Both teams, I think, were on a bye last week. So
they were, yeah.
This line is dumb, right?
This line is so dumb.
Like, what?
I looked at this line and I was like, what? Wait, am I missing something? Like...
Now, to be fair, we said the same thing about the Oregon State Washington State game about how dumb that line was, and that didn't work out for us. But this line is stupid. Like, I've watched both these teams. I've watched every game from both these teams, and I don't understand.
So it's got to be. Here's the thing: is like they have to, and part of it has to be that Arizona Washington game, right? Where like Arizona really moved the ball against a horrendous Washington defense. Just like, look, like USC's defense is a little better than Washington's. It's not a lot. It's just a little. USC's offense is a good margin better than Washington's offense. there's almost no way to describe how bad Arizona's defense is. They are impossibly bad. And I don't think, unless USC turns the ball over, that Arizona's going to get stops.
And I would say,
I think this is one of those games where, like, unless USC takes their foot off the gas, like, Beterank has this, is this at Arizona? Yeah, Beterank has this at 31. Like, I just do not. I saw this. I was like, "Are you seeing that?" Like USC, even if they don't win by 30, like the chances that they don't win by 3 touchdowns just seem incredibly small to me. Because at some point, Arizona is like, USC is going to get one or two more stops than Washington will, and they will score one or two more touchdowns than Washington did.
Yeah, it is at Arizona. That's the one thing. But like, the defense is so bad. I mean, it's just. If Arizona's defense was at like 70 or even like bottom 80,
this would be a totally different game. Like, Beterank would have this at like 14 or 15 points.
Yeah. But it's awful. Like, USC's going to score 50, like at least 50 in this game.
And honestly, like, USC's defense is not great, but like, Arizona's offense is all big plays. They are at 15 in explosive drives. They struggle with drive efficiency. This is a combination of a little bit of vicious play calling. And the other part is, like, they're really pass dependent. Like, they're at number 13 in effective pass. And like, they have an opportunity to potentially run the ball in this game. USC's run defense hasn't been great this season. But DeLora doesn't complete his passes at a high enough rate. And some of this is like Jed Fish despite the fact that they don't necessarily run the ball terribly well, they don't have a they just don't have a great short passing game. Right. Like almost all, like when you look at Delora, almost all of his passes are routes that are breaking like 10 yards down the field. And he, like, he's not completing enough of those, right? Like to keep the sticks moving, and they don't have an effective running game to keep the sticks moving.
Man, that's the one. That's the one where it's just, yeah, give me USC. I think they just stomp on Arizona. They score way too many points to be able to let Arizona cover the spread. And Arizona should have fired its defensive coordinator last week, and they didn't. And that's a problem. That's a problem. it's the second stubborn move by Fish, right? He was too stubborn to move Gunnar Cruz last for like 3 or 4 weeks. And this defense is real. Like it's almost, it was interesting because I forget the gentleman, he was the former SID for Arizona, had tweeted out about like how bad you had showed in a visual form how bad Arizona's defense was, and like it is the tail end of the bell curve, like the very tail end, and like he was kind of saying like, well, you don't need stats to know it's bad. Well, you need stats to know how bad this defense is, and it's that bad.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think when you say like Arizona has the worst defense in the Pac-12, people are like, yeah, okay, you don't really grasp like how bad. Like Arizona's defense right now is inconceivably bad. I mean, and far worse than like recruited where it should be from, like the level of players that they've recruited. That's not to say like I'm not telling you that Arizona should have a good defense based on the players that they have recruited. But they should have a much less bad defense.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the part, like Lincoln Riley is the best offensive play caller in the conference. He's got the best quarterback in the conference and probably the best collection of talent, you know, skill position talent. And he's got the best offense currently in the conference. Like, they are going to absolutely, like, again, like the only way Arizona covers this is if they force like 3 turnovers.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't trust, and you should not trust Arizona's offense enough to actually make this a game, because like that game against Washington where they put up the, like, this has far more of the looks for me like the game against Oregon or the game against Mississippi State, where the offense gets behind, or even the Cal game, where like the defense is so bad that the offense ends up pressing and they're just not consistent enough and they don't have either the play calling or the execution to hang with them. Like I think USC is going to put pressure. Like I think the way you, like USC's offense will end up putting a lot of pressure on Arizona's offense. And I think that'll end up hurting them.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like too in that Washington game, like a lot, like Arizona put up, you know, like 25 in the second half, you know, like, and they put up like 15 in the fourth quarter when in theory the game is like largely out of reach too. Like, I mean, maybe the starters are still in and Arizona could backdoor this, but I don't think they're, I'd be surprised if they get there without turnovers, I guess. Like that's, I just be surprised if they get there without turnovers. Like I just don't think they have it in them. I don't know. I mean, like they were surprisingly consistent against Washington, but like Washington's pass defense is like horrendous, and like Arizona was just able to light them up. USC's defense is bad, but it's not like, it's not horrendous at anything.
Yeah.
Like the way Washington's pass defense is, like that's the thing. Like, it, like Washington's, like it's sort of like Colorado's run defense. They are so bad that you can get almost whatever you want against it, and that's true for Washington. Like that's not quite true for USC's defense, you know. And like Arizona's not in the realm of like say Utah's offense or something like that, you know. And they're also like, it's not like, they're like, they just don't have like, they don't have the players. They don't have the tradition of execution, like that kind of thing. Like, I was shocked when this line was at 14. Shocked.
And it got bet up. So, all right, we'll keep a look on that.
Yeah.
That's the full slate, Rob. Anything else you want to plug? Anything else going on?
No, I'm not going to get to Saturday Six tonight. I will get to it tomorrow at lunch. Yeah, I mean, like, if you, like, last week was a bit of a, like, last week was a bananas crazy week in college football. Like, an unusual number of underdogs covered. Like, much higher than the normal count of underdogs covered last week. But if you thought FBS football was crazy, so FCS, Mercer, the number one team in beta rank FCS, went on the road and was -6 on turnovers.
Oh, no.
Like, they were playing the number 5 team in FCS beta rank, so of course they lost. But then Sacramento State, who was number 3, was playing number 17 Montana. They were -4 on turnovers and somehow still won.
Oh, that's bonkers.
Yeah.
The Duke-Miami game.
8 turnovers. Yeah. Oh, Miami is bad. Like, Miami is not just, like, unlucky. Miami's legitimately bad this season.
Oh, man. Love picking on them. I'm sure Oregon fans do as well. All right. Well, Saturday 6 on YouTube, Sharp College Football. SharpCollegeFootball.com, where you can find all of your advanced stats and needs. Check us out next week. We will continue to ride through the Pac-12 slate and root for them favorites this week. All right, guys, catch you later.